We must all learn to live together as brothers, or we will all perish together as fools.
Ha 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 ha. The robot off the steps and made myself a quick cup of mocha java. Came back out to get in my battered old air car and...
Professor Dottel?
Yeah?
I am Mustafa.
Mustafa? Ruby's air car? What are you doing here, Mustafa?
Waiting for Ruby.
Didn't anyone tell you?
Tell Mustafa.
Ruby was sucked into some black hole. She's gone.
Mustafa will wait.
Well, it may be a long wait.
Oh. Would you like to go for a spin?
Pretty plush in here, Mustafa.
Slide in, Professor.
Yeah, it's not bad. A lot of lights, a lot of buttons. Hey, what's this one right over here?
An espresso.
You got cappuccino?
Certainly.
Oh. It's freshly squeezed, huh?
Cinnamon?
No, I don't like cinnamon. So, how long would it take to fly? Hey, this is good coffee.
Good.
Yeah. How long would it take to fly to the city of the electronic dead?
No time at all.
Yeah? Well, how do you start this thing?
Just buckle in, Professor.
Yeah.
And relax.
Relax, huh? Oh, all right.
I'll,
mortality tied in a single garment of destiny. Whatever affects one directly affects all indirectly for some strange reason.
But always really as an outsider, as a stranger looking in. And just about the time at which I began to feel that we were at home there, suddenly we weren't. And I think that's a terribly good training, really, for... Sorry, getting to see a lot of different... parish to parish. I found myself, you know, no sooner had I... and so on. So I was getting to see a lot of different societies. But
recapitulation of the momentous events. It is September 1st, 1939. At 5:45 a.m., German armies move across the Polish borders and converge upon the capital city of Warsaw from the north, south, and west.
How's it different to be black in 1997 than it was in 1967?
flew out across the vast deserts of the Boozy Boos, above the jungles of the Zeezy Boos, headed for the long-abandoned automated city they call the City of the Electronic Dead. It was daylight as we approached the city.
They say the city continues to live long after it has been abandoned.
Yeah?
They say the jungle has reclaimed much of the city.
Yeah.
They say at night, the sidewalks suddenly screech and the lights of the city at night.
Yeah.
They say the buildings change positions during the night.
Hmm. Yeah, well, at least it's morning.
You can see the city on Mustafa's screen.
Hmm. Oh, look at that. Rusted skyscrapers, collapsed domes, tumbled towers. Not too enticing. Why is it so dark down there?
They say the city has automated weather control and has chosen to be eternally nighttime.
I don't like the looks of this.
Where would you like to land, Professor?
In some other city.
There is a broad boulevard below.
All right, let's go for it.
Still retains its value in the used market.
Yeah. So what do? You throw your old analog 8-track, you sell that, right?
Oh, no.
Just use that on the side.
You can still use that. You know, you can spin the tape across the heads, you know, rock it back and forth, and sample that, and record it into your audio program or whatever. Everything can be useful.
Careful.
That's all I'm telling you. Watch your back.
the thick of it here. It's kind of thick. There's a lot of it. That's all I've got to say. Well, not totally all. One of thousands of lies I tell, along with my countrymen, every day. There's the Third World Orchestra for you. Down here at the command post, ZBC Radio, a proud member of the Z Letter Club. No X, but got a Z. Five five two four six eight six. Telephone number if you want to order auxiliary body parts. Got some extras down here. We had to let a few people go, and America being what it is, we try to recycle and stuff. Just getting into the Christmas spirit. Bear with me. There's the long fire walk over broken glass, culminating in a big barbecue of the firstborn. Antiseptically born. No one had body fluid for that. No mess, no muss, no fuss. Hey, I can talk about it. My people invented it. No one could have expected such a capitalist boon, however. Something's loose here. There it is. New Metaphysics, Gary Geiserman. Doing some. Hoping to get Don back here next week. He's not feeling well tonight. As we're going headlong into the millennium, coming up. Part of the millennium will be a big deal because people have been telling us it's a big deal. And since beliefs create reality, there's part of it for you right there. And then, since we are creating our own reality, it's a nice way to wrap up a segment. So we're also choosing to have an interesting thing happen around now. And then also, the most far-out thing that's ever happened to three-dimensional humans is happening to us. Let me put that in the subjective, or in the subject. We're coming up with a big shindig, you and I. So big that we wanted to make the most out of it by camouflaging it in the most far effing out surreal shadow play ever put on in this theater of operations. Think about it. What if I'm right? What if the human stands up, wakes up, and can walk around when all before that was a feverish dream at best? Humor me. Not only is it far out, but it hasn't even happened yet. What it actually is up to you personally. Fill in name here. A multi-perspective cubist portrait, but with rounded edges. And you're in the painting. No, it's going to be cool. Very cool. It'll be everything that's ever happened, and then begin. Big problem, though, is allowing that much pleasure per square minute. Can you allow that much pleasure without developing warts all over your body, extreme guilt, and then, of course, the obligatory suicide in the courtyard with Colonel Mustard or something? I'm serious now. Can you allow more pleasure, more different ways, more intensity, non-stopping? Of course, there'll be a pulsation in this polarized world. But it'll be pulsing between that and more pleasure. Can you absorb that much pleasure without blowing up? I mean, that's a lot of pleasure, man. That's like 1,000 shots of heroin straight into your forehead. All at the same time. And you don't come down. And that's only part of it. It's kind of like getting high and going to the airport, laying on the hood of the vehicle late at night during Christmas break. And that's only the first minute. You fill it in.
Girl, almost a year. Well, what am I talking about? You met her at the seafood joint maybe 6 months ago.
That little brunette? Melody something?
Melody, yeah, right.
Yeah, she was cute. She was very cute, as I remember.
Yeah, took her home, met the folks, even gave her a ring one weekend up the Cape.
Seriously?
Oh, yeah, I really liked her.
Sounds good.
But then she starts to, you gotta see other people set up, kind of all routine. Suddenly I'm parked out in front of her house, 4 o'clock in the morning, going to work, circles under my eyes. I call her 3 times before she calls me back once. You know, the whole phone fade-out thing. Finally, I say, this is not needed in my life. I don't need this. Somebody rejects me, you know, a woman. It just drives me, I hate it. You know? It seems like everything, work, these women, I feel like they're getting out of balance, don't they?
Yeah, they really do, Howard. They really do. We gotta do something about it.
later wrote, "I very well remember being with Picasso when the first camouflage truck passed. We had heard of camouflage, but we had not yet seen it. And Picasso, amazed, looked at it and then cried out, 'Yes, it is we who made it.'"
Went on about his business, and then he discovered this other man by the name of Ian Wentow, who was an Onondaga by birth and who was adopted by the Mohawk in the process. So he established the process of adoption during all of this. At any rate, the two worked together, and so it was they who were in the lead of the group of men that were approaching Tadadaho with the song. And as they approached him, he transformed and agreed to this great piece.
You mean the people approaching, singing the sound of the bird?
Of the bird.
And this creature with wild hair and a twisted body, as you say, he responded.
He responded. He agreed.
He changed.
He changed. And there was a law. There was a lesson there for everyone. And that lesson was, no matter how bad a person is, he can change to be the very best.
He can be born again.
It's actually, it was... I hesitate to use that word because it has such a different connotation today.
Yeah.
But really,
well, spiritual,
it's true, a spiritual
conversion. That's what it, that's the metaphor, isn't it?
It was a spiritual conversion.
And the woman, that custom still prevails, that the woman greeted the peacemaker chooses the next chief?
At that time, as we moved along, you know, in his process of when he sat down, he said, this society will follow because the women. The woman was the first to recognize this. The society will follow the woman's side, become a matriarchal society, matrilineal society. Also, what that did very clearly was it established the nationhood. Any child was born was born with an identity. He had a nation, he had the clan, and whatever his gender or her. And so we had, if it was a boy, we had a lacrosse player. And if it was a girl, we had someone who inherited. Into the Turtle Clan at that time. A wonderful woman who raised many generations of children. She carried at some point here at Onondaga Nation four clanships in her hand because of the inability to find a clan mother for those clans. She carried all that extra work. And so she was about getting these things parceled out and getting them done. And she asked me whether I would consider that, and I
consider becoming
one of the representatives of the Turtle Clan in council.
Received glowing commendations from everyone, and then all of a sudden the program was shut down and I was sent home, and I couldn't understand this. I know now why they didn't want this information to be reported, because if they acknowledged that the Communist Party in Thailand consisted of thousands of organized villagers, then they would have to have told the same truth about the Communist movement in Vietnam, when the strength there of the Communist movement was in the millions. And if we had ever admitted that, there would have been only one solution to what was going on in Vietnam, is to shut down the war and come home. We could not win.
Thanks for 4 years of a roof of my bleach blonde head. Nothing.
You know, and it comes to me, the truth. I do not give a shit. Not about anybody. A family member, the job, none of it. I couldn't care less.
Jeez.
I mean, get me wrong, we're pals, always have been.
Same college.
Exactly, and that means something, but these other folks, you know, jump on while the going's good. No, that will not do. People, goddamn Suzanne, probably in Arizona right now riding dune buggies. Not a care on this earth. God, it just makes me want to fuck somebody up and good.
Sure, jeez. This began to build the stretches then to take out the part that I didn't want. And once I started that with the aluminum paintings, that naturally the cutout thing just kept suggesting more and more possibilities for shape things. And it seemed to work for me. One of the hangovers, or one of the real problems in, say, it's always been in Western art, but particularly in 20th century modern painting, or modernist painting, whatever you want to call it, is that there's always been an atmosphere, a background, even in the abstract painting. The only one to really deal with it was Mondrian, and he ran it out to the edge, but he still stayed relational. But mostly to get rid of it, it was a recurring thing in my paintings, too. It seemed to me the bands and the blocks had some kind of landscape relationship, or landscape... or atmospheric space in them, and I wanted to get away from that as much as I could, and I wanted to solve the problem of particularly the spatial problem of depth and the problem of what happened to the painting as it faded out around the edges.
As a stranger looking in, and just about at the time at which I began to feel that we were at home there, suddenly we weren't.
Yeah, it's a certain feeling. Bathed in the objective of deductive logic, lost in space, looking to create walls first, work your way in, just like God does. Create something so that there is something. It's a certain feeling. Orphans have that feeling. Where they might have it, put it that way. In Newton, WZBC, New Metaphysics, Gary Geiserman right here, No Commercial Potential Part 2, 552-4686. And that's about it for now. Going a little about 2, 2.30, what have you.
Hold on here.
From the north to the south.
I'm talking to the phone.
Front yard, Mesa, Arizona. I saw it from about dead center sky, almost to the other horizon. Not quite. When you have this area where heavy planes come in for approach.
With their DEC software, which is the multi-track recording package we've been talking about. So it's sort of on the horizon, at least as far as you know, OSC is concerned, but currently within most digital audio workstation packages, they're more designed for recording and manipulating what you've just recorded.
I saw a very large bolt of light come out of the sky and explode. I kept driving about 2 miles down the road. I saw a huge triangle of stars that I thought was moving. My children and I stopped the car, turned the lights off, got out, and realized that it actually was moving. I don't really believe in UFOs, but this was like one of the strangest experiences we have ever had in our lives. And all three of us saw the same thing. That's about it. Thanks. Bye.
For their physical, metaphysical, and esoteric qualities, we talk of crystals. And finally, crystals can produce or be doorways and gateways to the future, to the possible, to the unknown, to the imaginal, to what we'll place under the broad and beautiful umbrella. Crystals can be gateways to the mystical other. They can afford you a gateway to what you have lost of yourself, to that of Lemuria, that you have forgotten of yourself, to that of Atlantis, what you have lost of yourself. Can afford you gateway to that which is missing from your heritage, from your Celtic tradition, from wherever else among the myriad of lifetimes you call past. Gateways to what is lost of you, to what has been forgotten of you, to what is missing of you. In the states of mind called Atlantis, Lemuria, and Heritage, respectively. They can be gateways to discovering more of who you truly are. As well, in many ways, crystals can serve as gateways to the confluence of magic. What's the common denominator between the magic of you, magician of your current age, and the magic of you, of your tradition? Often the common denominator can be crystals. You, from the many lifetimes other, can put your magic into a crystal, as can you of this lifetime and there, a gateway to the confluence of these many magics. Likewise, crystals can serve as gateways for the complexity of consciousness from your time, from times past, from your set, from other sets, from your world and the world of other that share your planet Earth, where you can bring the diversity of your consciousness and others can bring the diversity of their consciousness together in a complexity to integrate without losing identity, without turning into mush. And crystals can be that conduit for the confluence of magic, for the complexity of consciousness, also a conduit, an ally, a gateway to working in order to create that new world together with the other worlds that share your planet, to create that new world together.
potential programming on WZBC in Newton has been brought to you in part by Records, retail and mail order distributors of experimental, avant-garde, and electronic music. Records has moved and is now located at 23 Central Street in Lowell.
Basically, I knew nothing. I would also say that most of us on the team didn't know anything about packet switching because, in fact, we were inventing packet switching.
Some 80 meters in diameter. Crystal teeth with the curved shape of kris knives glinted around the rim. The bellows breath of cinnamon, subtle aldehydes, acids. The worm blotted out the moonlight as it brushed the rocks above them. A shower of small stones and sand cascaded into the narrow hiding place. Paul crowded his mother farther back. Cinnamon. The smell of it flooded across him. What has the worm to do with the spice melange, he asked himself.
Intelligence on Vietnam was doctored to support the ongoing war there, and I could see that the situation in doctoring intelligence was universal.
Reverse radio show where we call out rather than you call in, and we're interested in your opinion on various topics.
You willing to engage?
It depends on what it's all about.
Well, I'm going to bring up a topic, and then we can interact.
Would you explain who you are to me once more?
Bob is my radio name, and this is Bob's Talk Show.
Bob's Talk Show? And on what radio station?
I sell it to various... We never know whoever buys it. It's sort of like an entrepreneurial way of doing a talk show.
Wherever the agency had a covert action role or a policy role to implement, its intelligence was distorted, shaped, created to support that policy. It was, in many, many cases, it was nothing but fiction. I think the worst thing I was involved in was the Phoenix operation in Vietnam, a countrywide assassination program. I was part of it. This was a program started by the CIA, funded by the CIA, recruiting people for the operation, training them to go out and kill or capture the Viet Cong. I came to realize later that we were shooting fish in a barrel, that most of the Vietnamese supported the other side, and we were the intruders, and the Vietnamese were fighting for their own liberation from foreign domination. I went out to Vietnam to help save Vietnam for democracy. And when I saw photographs of children bombed and napalmed and burned by operations, this caused for me a tremendous trauma. And I, for a number of months, contemplated suicide as my only out.
All right. So the topic tonight is the discarnate experience. Now, the word discarnate, the way I mean it, is that while you're on the phone and I'm on the phone, you are in the room I'm in, your voice is at least, and I'm in your room. In other words, we're in two places at the same time, which the human body cannot do. Right? You follow that?
Expressionist painters seem to me to have found one part of the painting that they really liked, one part where it came off, where it worked, and then they spent the whole rest of their time working on that painting, trying to nurse the painting into a situation that would show off the one good part of their painting they had to its best effect.
You're the comic show?
Yes, it can be. We sometimes have to sell it that way.
All right, okay, where do we go from here?
Well, the interesting thing about the discarnate experience is that one cannot visualize being in two places at the same time.
No, I just thought.
What?
I said I guess you couldn't.
Yeah, you couldn't.
It seemed to me that I didn't want to be involved in the kind of painting that was mostly correctional, mostly kind of nursemaid kind of painting, trying to nurse something up that was supposed to be fresh and direct to begin with. And it seems to me that this was the point that I was talking about before, where I began to see the importance of Pollock and sort of what it was really about, and the difference, say, between Pollock and the other abstract expressionists.
Now, we spend all our time on the phone in the Western world, maybe the whole world, but in North America, we spend a lot of time on the phone. That image must be reflected in our mind sometimes, or often. How do we, if we are having an experience that we can't visualize in our brains, then what would that do to our sense of selves, our image of ourselves? See, this may be the root of the confusion that people have in the electric environment.
Very interesting.
I think none of us had any doubt that we could do it in 9 months. It was an engineering task. It was a fun one. Yes, we were going to have to work day and night, weekends, but not so hard.
claim to be smarter than other people. It's just that most technical people don't understand the creative process, don't understand the problems of ideas, and of evolving ideas, and of the representation of ideas, and the evolving representation of evolving ideas, and the intercomparison of the evolving representation of evolving ideas. And that's the issue. Nothing less will do.
This is way, way, way off topic. It's getting back to the difference between acoustic space and visual space.
Oh, thank you.
If visual space is obsolete, how come kaleidoscopes are so much fun?
Fad diets often test your mental abilities to plan and adhere to complicated dietary regimens. The Casey diet is refreshingly simple and straightforward. It's based on a simple premise. Consume a diet that promotes a slightly alkaline condition in the body. The natural state of your body is a pH of 7.4. 7 is neutral, above 7 is alkaline, below is acid. This chemical balance within the body is vital to good health. Certain foods have a metabolic reaction within the body which produces an acid condition, others an alkaline condition. By designing a diet that includes 80% alkaline reacting foods to 20% acid reacting foods, you can adequately balance your system for optimum health. Since the Casey readings were innately health conscious, it is no surprise that this same diet tends to be low in fat and calorie content, high in fiber. And remember, these readings were given in the early part of this century, long before cholesterol became a household word.
Terribly good training, really, for a writer.
Your father was an Anglican clergyman. And I'm wondering if you were interested in the different forms of religion you found in your research on the prairie.
Kaleidoscopes are in color. Color is a tactile medium. Visual space is not color photography. Visual space is the alphabet.
The guards will spot a tunnel in no time.
You gotta have camouflage. I got it all worked out.
Thinking, can't stop thinking, wake up thinking. I sweat across the floor and my socks are good and poor. Now I think too much.
It's black and white. All right, if you're misunderstanding, visual space disappeared a long time ago when the photograph came in, and then the movie and, of course, television. Now, does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes sense.
All right, so your point was, now what was your question again?
The question was, oh, how come kaleidoscopes are so much fun?
The kaleidoscope is light through. You see, with the alphabet in the Gutenberg Galaxy of print, light was reflected off the page through the user. All right?
Okay.
Once we had the electron environment, we had light through. All right? Like a stained glass window. The popular... I like to suspect I would giggle when I make insights. Yeah, you've been in there before. It's the genius. I like you. Giggle at the right point. Because when laughter is a sign of learning. When people are learning something, they laugh. All right? They reconcile the yes and no in themselves. It comes right into an insight, a paradigm, a pattern recognition. But the kaleidoscope is like a stained glass window, and the psychedelic era the kaleidoscope is associated with is the era of television and light through. All right?
Yeah.
Stained glass window. So the kaleidoscope is a colorful stained glass light through phenomenon, very teeny compared to the light through effect you get on LSD or other drugs. You know what I mean? Other hallucinogenic drugs. But when you're not using drugs or taking a break, the kaleidoscope will remind you of that light through colorful experience, color being a tactile. In other words, pre-literate culture has very colorful costumes and clothing. All right?
Okay.
And the alphabetic man, the print man of 100, 200 years ago, in the West, was a very bland, kind of anemic form of cultural clothing. So that's pretty clear. I think I made it clear. You've learned something tonight from that.
Okay, well, do you think kaleidoscopes would be a good medium for the media to use in the East-West picture here?
As a metaphor? You mean as a symbolic, like quoting the native cultures, like a bob pipe?
Yeah.
You know, or like a pipe to hang around, hand around?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I'll accept that.
Okay.
As a matter of fact, I suspect you've been doing some espionage in our Secret Council 10 meetings. It's actually what we use. Are you with me or against me?
Oh, well, that's a future question.
Yeah, in other words, you've just told me that you're watching me. You knew we used the bob pipe as kaleidoscope at our Secret Council meeting, didn't you?
Oh, you told me that just now. I just raised the question.
Yeah, but I think you knew that. Yeah, you're playing pink. Okay, baby. We're watching you, you're watching me. That's the way it is under electric conditions. Remember, we're still islands, though, right?
Okay.
You know, you're an island, I'm an island.
All right.
No connection.
Thanks very much, caller.
Yes.
Bye.
Nice. Just asking. Excellent caller. Yes, good.
Advance. Advances in computer networking weren't limited to the mainland. Scientific experiments in Hawaii couldn't be easily connected by phone lines. The solution was to use radio.
Is cubism.
The first months of the war are a period of optimism. But they soon give way to long years of horror and despair. 1915. Picasso's mistress Ava dies of tuberculosis. Brock is wounded in the head. He returns to the south of France to convalesce. 1917. Picasso is designing sets for the Russian ballet, moving in chic social circles, traveling to Rome. He marries Olga Koplova, a Russian ballerina, and paints her in a neoclassical style. When Brock finally recovers, he's a changed man. Gone is the humor and flair of the pre-war years. Picasso later told Kahnweiler that after seeing Brock off at the Avignon station, he never saw the same man again. Brock, for his part, dismissed Picasso's new naturalistic paintings as the work of a mere virtuoso.
Picasso and Brock came together in part because opposites attract. They found in each other extraordinary things which they must have unconsciously, at least, sensed were missing in themselves.
I finally got over that effort and thought, well, what I should do with my knowledge is try to bring this knowledge to the American people so that there won't be further Vietnams, there won't be further abuses. And since that time, I've dedicated my life to exposing the agency.
Vitalogy works on four levels. On the first level, the most complex, the formal level, it's programming our sensing environments. For example, we programmed visual space for 300 years under printing press conditions. And then we brought in acoustic space retrieval with radio, and then tactile space with television. So, and that's tactility, television. So you're working with the tactile sensory environment.
Okay, that's number one. Period.
That's the first level, the most general sensory programming of the population.
Years ago and placed it in graphic terms. No man is an island in time itself. Every man is a piece of the continent, a part of the main. He goes on toward the end to say any man's death diminishes me because I am involved in mankind, therefore never send to know for whom the bell tolls. It tolls for thee.
You know, if we were living in India, you could have burned that fiancé of yours on a pyre in the village square, even hinting it were suited to you. To this day.
I hear you.
It's the ridiculous with which the government and the national media is going to demonize the targeted group.
It's true. All right, we're going to take a pause here, Gurudas. And
I wanted to call your attention to one thing that I had heard on Friday, this past Friday, which would be November 1st, on this same network, on a program that airs Eastern Time from roughly 6 p.m. to 8 p.m.
Remembered Liat Kynes betraying a veiled reference to some association between worm and spice.
Barum, it was like a peal of dry thunder coming from far off to their right. Again, Barum.
Out of anger and, you know, the thought of me even getting touched by a man, it made me furious, you know?
Her? Did she go?
Go? Where would she have gone? She was a child, no bigger than that.
The second level of Bob's media ecology is controlling basically advertising. But we call it advertising and programming, or advertising and then the show or the information. But from the perspective of the first level, they merge. But on the second level of Bob's media ecology, it's programming media content, mm-hmm. which is usually a previous environment. Mm.
Who would have sheltered her? But that's not why she didn't go. And did you lose her? Did she go? Go. Where would she have gone? Gone. She was a child, no. She was a child, no bigger than that.
I was teaching out here, actually, at Stanford. When I first saw Hawaii about 30 years ago, and 29 years ago, I decided to move there. It took me about a year to find a university position there and move to Hawaii to go surfing.
I don't know much about the University of Hawaii, but it doesn't just jump to mind as a hotbed of computer research.
It isn't, but the surf is a hell of a lot better than it is here.
Let's hear the Berg Lyric Suite for string quartet. Now, that's 12 notes. Now we're doing things with it. Aha. Uh-huh. There's the row again, untransposed. You see, don't orient yourself toward a tonality. It was just... That's all.
Mm-hmm. So, that's all I'll say about that level. The third level is bureaucratic media ecology, which largely consists of Big Brother work. What Orwell tried to whistleblow on with 1984, that is basically assassinations, political smear jobs, framings, sort of battles behind the scenes.
Now we're getting interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, that's the third level of programming. And then the fourth level is what I'm an expert at, is battles behind the scenes.
Now we're getting interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, that's the third level of programming. And then the fourth level is what I'm an expert at, is collective clairvoyance.
Berg's treatment of the so-called series is so plausible that one may easily analyze then imitate. Berg's favorite trick is to conceive a melodic outline of six tones and then harmonize it or counterpoint of the last six. So here's the last six. Bingo. counterpoint.
You better explain what you mean by counterpoint.
Oh, well, you write another melody against it.
All right.
I have to have
that's
the score
what we
here,
want.
So here is a chord, you see. Uh-huh.
Yes.
Now, what part of the row is that?
Oh,
it's in the last part, isn't it? It's all black keys. There's a G-flat major chord. G-flat, B-flat, D-flat. That's in the violins and viola. Here's a cello. What's that?
They're in the white
keys. An earlier part of the row. In other words, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. Harmonize the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. And the next chord is... Well, an A minor chord, you see, which is the first part of the row again. And then a white key and two black keys. Now, in that one measure, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12.
They're all there.
They're all there in that one measure. So one of the problems is to make the piece go, and you make it go with rhythm.
The fate of the novelist, the ultimate freak. One, of course, doesn't know for whom one writes. There's no way of knowing. The critics are the artists on their own. Their reaction to one's work is something which is not necessarily directly connected with one's work. They, again, they are creative in their own right. They may like it or dislike it, however, they operate on the same level of literary perception. The novelist's task, therefore, is in many ways a lonely one. He never knows how he communicates. He never knows whether he communicates. The 3,000 copies, that's not much. But even if it's 4 million, you still don't know how many people simply bought the book, glanced at it, and were not able to read it. In a paperback country, buying a pocketbook doesn't mean much. It's not much money. Someone might have opened the book, read the first 5 to 10 pages, and dropped it. Someone might have read it without really perceiving it in any way. So there's no way of knowing. This might be one additional reason why so many novelists are turning to other media, to screenplay writing, when somehow they can join the visual medium and feel that whatever they produce is actually seen.
And that is the sum of the first three levels that are creating a synergistic effect greater than the sum of the parts, that is the result day in, day out, of what all these various levels of programming contribute to.
Okay, so what your
fourth level,
the
final level.
And when you say clairvoyance, does that mean that through nothing else other than the activity of the mind, you can direct all of these three levels to one point of interest, to one aim, one collective goal?
Well,
by definite number of people who would come to the cinema, sit through, and see the film, or see it on television. At one point, however, in my life, as detached as I decided to be towards the letters from the readers, which you do probably guess, always run against the book. There's no such thing as a positive, truly positive letter. Since the passion to be positive somehow expresses itself in not a very lengthy form. I remember for about 4 months I was getting a very nice little letter from Texas and would say, I love you. No signature. 1 week later, same red ink, I love you. 3 weeks, 4 weeks, 7 weeks. 5 months, every week, I felt more love than anyone in my life, except that there was no signature. And having some rather unpleasant experience with my mail, I really welcomed this one. I had it, all these letters glued to each other, and they hung on my wall to remind me that there was somewhere up there among 204 million people, the ultimate lover. And I saw her sitting there, shy, quiet, once a week saying, stuck to herself with the inner voice of a perfect reader, it's time to write to Jersey. And I saw her sitting there, and quickly, maybe there was a husband who didn't see it, or a boyfriend, and she would say, excuse me for a second, I have to make a note. I had to make a note, and she would write, I love you. And then, afraid the husband or a potential lover, or maybe an actual lover, who knows, in Texas you can never tell, that maybe afraid that she would be cut, she would not sign it. Afraid of being caught, it's a good excuse, you don't sign the letter.
Well, if you think of mind as inside your skull, then you're limiting. That's a Western cultural percept. ESP is gesture as well. Mm-hmm. It's actually using all your faculties, so that tactility, comprehensive tactility, would be complex clairvoyance. And this is the effect of crowds and individuals intermingling.
Who would have sheltered her? But that's not why she didn't go. To know it. And did you lose her? Did she go?
And out of this unity that they formed through their dialogue, they were able to develop something.
How do you know how to make film, John? Have you studied it at all?
Well, no, Yoko was quite adept in filmmaking, and she made quite a few films before I met her. I used to make 8mm films at home, you know, and superimpose and do tricks with it, and just play arbitrary records with it.
Free of art. That certainly could not have been developed otherwise. Both Picasso and Braque made important contributions to Cubism. But if we counted them up, we would find that perhaps more had been made by Braque, which is curious because we think of Picasso.
Helped me develop in that area, and I find it's very similar to recording, you know, just visual, and it's beautiful to work with.
2 weeks ago, one more thing. I love you, Bob, so and so. My final myth vanished. I'm not going to write the book. Not because I'm prejudiced, but for some reason, at this stage, I really don't feel like getting in touch with him. There was one more incident, which points at the futility of waiting for it, the futility of waiting for a reaction, and which in some way explains why I'm here and why there is a longing for some kind of a direct confrontation with the actor.
Is it an American camera or?
He's getting so good now, I find it a bit, you know, he's too good for my liking these things.
She taught me filmmaking. I taught her sort of rock and roll, you know, and so I'm getting worried with these singles coming out, and she's getting worried with my film, so it's pretty good.
What kind of camera do you use?
Arriflex.
I couldn't buy it. And only a year and a half later, when I came once to see the Museum of Trocadero, I saw that it is a Negro piece from Dahomey tribe. I still have it.
That's amazing.
Yes, it's very interesting.
This Negro thing is tremendously important to the Negro discovery of Negro art. I mean, you come from, you know, from Lithuania, and suddenly, why do you think the whole group, a whole generation of artists, suddenly saw?
I guess the best images of that are fractals.
Mm-hmm.
That'd be an approximation.
That's a computer-generated image that has a kind of infinity to it.
Yeah, the same order keeps appearing while there's an amazing detail.
Yeah.
Variety. So that is an approximate visual image in motion of the sum total of history and evolution.
Yeah, but we're distracted more, I think, by the third level than by anything else, because the third level drives the other two minor levels. Okay, so, I mean, let's take an example like JFK, the movie. What's going on there? Give us a media conscious analysis of what's happening.
Well, because we're in the, if you follow the chart in Bob's Mediacology,
We
convinced Larry in particular that we could do something that had never been done before technically.
And this was what, the AlohaNet?
It was the AlohaNet. It was the first network that decided that it was sensible to transmit data into a computer by means of radio waves rather than telephone lines or conventional wires. And we put a radio channel together, connected it in a new way to a computer, a very primitive computer at that time, and demonstrated wireless data for the first time in and out of a computer.
And you were doing wireless data in Hawaii because of their islands, is that it?
Frankly, I was doing it because of the surf.
I mean, we know what a good picture is, so if you know what a nice picture is, then that's the start, you know. Say.
You see, from 1977 to 1990, you lock down mythic government warfare.
What's going on there? Give us a media conscious analysis of what's happening.
Well, because we're in the if you follow the chart on Bob's Mediacology, you see from 1977 to 1990 you have you lock down mythic government warfare. And you have as the cover Universal Government Warfare, but from 1990 to 2020 you have Holeopathic Retrievals, where you lock down Bob Rule and Mythic Government Warfare. The mythic government, a government is any environment,
yeah,
not just bureaucracy or parliaments. So you have all the mixed corporate media, which I referred to earlier, battling as a fake, while the real action is a new world order or lockdown.
Mm-hmm.
Say, is it true that rumor that they used to, when the four of you were together, that some of the you and the other the other fellows, that those concerts, many times the din was so uproarious and all, nobody could hear anything anyway, that they actually played a tape and that you didn't really play?
I think that it is because our generation was on a crossroad. We felt the necessity to build our art with the elements of our imagination. So we took the road of imagination. And when we were on this road, we saw a lot of other civilizations, we'll say, which were working in this field with imagination, Negroes and the Mexicans, and we shook hands with them, and at least we could see them.
You said you did what? You shook hands with them?
Yes, of course. It is the influence of Negro art on, for example, the Cubist movement is absolutely not true. It's very little has to do with Negro art. We just shake hands with them. It has less to do, for example, than Renaissance with antique art.
Mm-hmm.
You see? Over there was a real influence. I don't think that the Negro African influenced too much our art. It's absolutely Western civilization and doesn't have anything to do with others.
Where would she have gone? She was a child, no.
Not that toothy, not that toothy, not that toothy. Started out as a wonder kid, Hollywood just wondered what to do with you, Dorothy. Click, 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 your heels together. Click, 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 click. You hope things would get better. Click, 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 click. But you did learn the truths in the land of Oz. Click, 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 click. They had to fit you in on film. Fit, 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 fit. Curled your head when you said, oh, I can fulfill that role. Slit, 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 slit. They made in carbon's clothes for all to know. No clothes could hold that exotic heat of yours, which must have come from being born in Cleveland. Witch, 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 witch. Ooh, they liked you as a sex witch with that killer hiss switch, but it was their fear and fantasy they wanted of you. All they wanted wasn't all you wanted. They had you and Belafonte, lovers on screen who could not touch, kiss, caress. No love bliss on film. Some white man's fear and fantasy. It was their 7-year itch.
Now, George Bush is bringing the New World Order as a kind of new centralized control of the whole planet, offering each culture in a decentralized front to have their
own.
But
nobody buys that. I mean,
this is the point, is that he is attempting the pink version of Bob Rule lockdown, whereas the real complex clairvoyance, which I'm accomplishing and bringing in the new solar order, is what's really going to happen between 1990 to 2020. Now, homeopathic retrievals is, because everything disappeared, as the first cut says, by, just for simplicity, by 1990, we have nothing but retrieval. But they are hologrammic and homeopathic. Now, homeopathy deals with the dilution of environments, and so the more you do with less, the more potent it is. Do you know about homeopathy?
That it's not... Movie violence isn't violence. And in a book, violence can be menacing. It can make you feel it the way it really is. I mean, that's what I wanted to do with, the book Violence, was to actually have the reader be able to see what it really is. So doing a little shit that I need all that's happened, did I know?
Have you ever heard of that medicine?
Yeah, it's like when you eat a herb or something because you have a toothache.
Paradigm,
mm-hmm.
And it's retrieved as an event, picking the right American biased medium movies. America's cultural medium, movie.
Mm-hmm.
So the JFK revelations never had any power when written in the book. Like,
so that's why it was a happy ending of sorts, and.
Why do you feel you need to say that?
Oh, because I think people really these days don't want to buy books where they...
Mark Lane's books and these things.
John DeLillo even.
Right.
Okay.
But you take America and its own bias and put that, what is in books, and put it in movie form, it communicates.
What we have here... problem to communicate. You rednecks, what you talking about out there? Is there anything I can say that would be so powerful that I wouldn't be able to say it because you would attract other forces to intervene. Yes, many. So many, I sometimes don't even know if it's okay to say anything, because I do like to operate holistically. I mean, I eat the whole kernel of brown rice. I think about the whole thing. I use perspective and balance so I can see the general principles of anything, any subset of things, or any superset of things. In this case, three perspectives covering the waterfront. And only then, with the general principles conscious or semi-subconsciously in mind, will I proceed into the inductive, to the specific, what you people call hell, or the addictive, or cyberspace, perhaps. Only then will I venture into that world. Lashed securely to the masthead of the one, Ulyssian, as an adult, with God and the goddess in my pocket, as my pockets, of course, themselves. Down here at the Z, the ZZZ, going to sleep on you. Multi-level production here. Multi-dimensional. I believe the buzz is synergy, is it not, my friends? A little SM radio for you, where concepts that would otherwise pass like sentence or paragraphs in the draft here chafe a little bit, looking for the talcum, if you will, which never does come now, does it? That's right. New Metaphysics, Gary Geiserman, stroking the oars. A single draftsman here, looking for null point, hoping to go into irons and see infinity. My favorite. Here's two I per chance. Still about two-ish, or slightly beyond, every Thursday 10 to 2, right here for you, at the right price. Feel free to make RNAs of this program on your cloning device. Trade them amongst your friends or cult mates, if you dare. Take nude pictures of yourselves and send them to the photomat. Perchance, realize that you can think of things that are very, very, very dangerous. Just like Legos made out of TNT bricks. That's how strong Do you realize that your beliefs hold the world together? I didn't think you did. But I am taping my shows so that I can play them before a deserving audience someday. This is a fervid dream of mine. He goes forth as a child still. Subject to change. Are you subject? I thought you did.
But it's a tiny event that shook up all the American culture. Hollywood and Washington.
Yeah, but
so
where did the event come from? Where did the
came
event
from 1963. It's a retrieval, but it's a diluted, homeopathic input into the mixed corporate media interaction.
I think they're going to be ambushed by something they don't want to think about. I really do. I mean, I think there's a large, large number of people who buy books really only for the hope of being somehow reassured or comforted in some way.
It is now 10 a.m., 4 hours and 15 minutes since the start of the attack. In Berlin, the Council of Ministers of the German Reichstag have been assembled. The reason? An emergency session. The Führer will speak. An ironical note. Hitler will ask the Reichstag ministers for their support in a war that is already underway. Hitler is speaking. This is the actual broadcast. The translation you will hear is taking place on September 1st, 1939. You will hear two interruptions of the Hitler speech when news commentator Bob Trout takes the air for two important news flashes.
Frankfurt war und ist eine deutsche Stadt.
So it's a figure in this ground. And this figure, because it's so tiny, it's one isolated political event. There have been so many assassinations, which I was involved in from before 63 and after. I mean, I was involved with Martin Luther King and George Wallace. That is only one assassination of the hundreds that have happened since 1963.
Okay, what I want to
so
know
why
is not
is
really...
that one retreat?
Well, that's what my question to you is. Why is this particular assassination, who is orchestrating the fact that the American imagination is so caught up in something that happened 30 years ago?
But he's really light about it. And my best one-liner from Emmanuel is when I said, I work with death. People are afraid of death on this plane, Emmanuel. What can I tell them? He said, Ram Dass, tell them that it's absolutely safe.
You know, your first reaction is you don't want to do that because the chiefs are always busy, they're always working, they're never home, they're always in meetings, and that seems to be quite a load. But she said, well, don't answer. She said, don't answer. Now, think about it. And the only words she ever said to me was, think of what you can do for your people. So finally I said, well, I'll try. She said, that's good. That's all I want to hear.
OSC just basically works with the Macintosh and not the other computers.
Well, currently it's all Mac based. The Mac actually is one of the few machines out there that rolls off the assembly line with built-in stereo 16-bit, you know, CD quality, you know, already in the machine.
witnesses which we met and we quoted in the book, they saw this kind of debris in Area 51. So I personally believe they brought everything from the UFO crash at Roswell, the one at Socorro, and later ones into Area 51, including the alien bodies and maybe surviving aliens.
Here's a description of the Weight No More diet. These are the basic guidelines for your daily diet found in Chapter 6 of Weight No More. 80% of your diet should include alkaline-forming foods. They are all fruits except cranberries, plums, and prunes, all vegetables except for lentils and corn, all milk including buttermilk, almonds, Brazil nuts, chestnuts, coconut, hazelnuts, coffee, tea, molasses, brown sugar, brewer's yeast.
Who is behind the fact that we can't get over this mystery?
Because we never left 1945, so you have to understand that we've just been running in the same spot, as the quote in the CD says, and layering information over on information. So the principle from Finnegan's Wake is past times become pastimes.
There were a number of high-ranking Army or Air Force officers that were seen shackled and gagged and being put onto 747s both in Langley, Virginia, and also at Casper, Wyoming.
Of the Israelites and, in Bible times, and there is this relevance, at least, in the point that I raised, that everything that they discussed led back to God. There was no secular life for them at all. If it was a livelihood, if it was the famines, if it was the genealogical tables, they led back to God, they led back to the first man.
So we now have a whole bunch of historical events since 1945 on record in all different media. These can be replayed for the population's nostalgia or a sense of involvement.
As I try to learn to ride a horse, which I peck at every 2 years with terribly bad results.
Gosh, Mr. Potter, with horsemanship, freshmanship, and
yes.
What's the other one? The fishmanship.
Fishmanship, yes.
What have you got to live for?
Well,
circle a date on this one, big guy. We keep on playing along with this pick up the check, can a girl change her mind crap. You know, and we can't even tell a joke in the workplace. There's going to be hell to pay down the line. No doubt about it. But we need to put our foot down pronto. Never lose control.
45. What happened in 45?
That was when history ended with the exclamation point of the atomic bomb. That was the end of linear history, because the atomic bomb was the flip from mechanical weaponry into software weaponry. And because the atomic bomb created decentralized warfare where you really couldn't control it, you had to bring in real control, and it made war obsolete.
Mm-hmm.
So in that sense, the conflict of warring factions ended in 1945 once the world was inside the atomic bomb environment.
I'll continue.
And you shall answer.
that the key shall be found by giving up consciousness. To find the key, man must enter trance state.
Okay, if you please have your seats as quickly as possible, I don't want to take any more time for the break.
And go beyond. He must practice skills and techniques to descend ever deeper inside himself. He must have the strength to give up all self-control and reach the infraconscious state. And then his existence shall be purely physical. And then he shall be able to read the key.
Just a couple of announcements before I get going. We're going to break for lunch at 12 noon. And then Larry will come here at 1 o'clock and he'll do his presentation. If you want to have lunch here at the hotel, they have three locations. One is called Petty Road, which is just as you exit from this area on your right-hand side. There's also a salad bar or buffet that's being set up in the lobby, and then there's a hotel right off the registration desk in the front lobby, if you like. We're only going to break for about an hour at the most, an hour and 15 minutes for lunch, so take care of it as quickly as possible.
See what I mean? Because it's so decentralized, it had to be controlled.
Right. So our perception of all time since then is no longer linear. We don't see it in segments. We see it, what, sequentially? We see it, how do we see it then? We see it as little fragments that we replay over and over again?
Well, rock and roll and pop culture has been trying to mirror the training of the population's perception of the TV effect so that the discontinuous, multi-leveled, acoustic simultaneity of the environment since 1945 is the closest that tactile man can come to, because it's ear. It's still near the head, the ear and the eye. But the tactility is that we are merged into the mosaic screen of the TV mesh with the pulsating dots, which you don't exist. I mean, the closest image you can get, I guess, is electrons and neutrons or some kind of atomic entities. So we retrieve all the mythic stages, movies, books, newspaper, and the content therein from history as something to live in.
This is such a stressful time to be alive, I suppose. There's so many things happening, there's so many changes. We're at the end of a century.
do I explain it all? It's just a gargantuan thing here we're going through, but it's dropping the victim role. That's one point. Is being in more control of your experience, your physical experience. And I do believe that it will be a semi physical experience, if not a totally physical experience.
Well, I don't. That's
a good way to put it. And that you will have access. If you're in fifth dimensional energy, you will be able to travel in and out of different energies, which you can now. But we don't normally realize that we're doing it. But the fifth dimensional energies, our bodies are starting to adapt to those right now, which is why I wonder if we're not going to be able to physically move in and out through dimensions.
Well, how so? How are we able to physically do this?
Well, I haven't got the full scope of it yet. I do see and feel and sense and hear the fifth dimensional energies interacting with us here and now. And I think it's Dr. Carolyn Miss has been talking about Homo noeticus, which is a new breed of human, so to speak, that we've gone to a higher vibration in our physical bodies.
So that JFK was the first fake president of the United States. As a media image. And because he was using the TV medium, it threatened certain other media.
That's what I think is happening.
I mean, there is that, and then there's...
Well, it first began, actually a little prior to that. This project's been ongoing now for almost 7 years. Radio Berkeley itself was put on the air as a free speech statement and a challenge to the FCC's regulatory policies, which essentially prohibit low power, low cost community stations on April 11th of 1993. And since then, we have been engaged with the FCC in a variety of legal battles. We have been back and forth in the courts over these intervening years. You know, during that time, Free Radio Berkeley, you know, grew from a once-a-week broadcast emanating from the hills of Berkeley, where we would backpack equipment up in the hills on Sunday evenings, to a fully-fledged community radio station with over 100 volunteer programmers running a 24-hour-day, 7-day-week schedule until June of this year, when we received a court injunction against myself, which effectively shut the station down.
So other media establishments had to get rid of them. But because we're in the post-TV age, we now can realize the full behind-the-scenes action of the TV age. Mm-hmm. And the key figure for that would be JFK and Marilyn Monroe and mm-hmm. what happened to them.
Maybe I'll get killed after one of my shows. I should tape it so I can mix it in later on. Because I am immortal. I didn't tell anyone that. The WZBC... I have it here in the palm of my hand. I'm going to put it in my mouth in a minute. You'll feel it. It'll feel good. It's not fattening. Low cholesterol. They're very rich in timber. And bespeaks of many mouths yet to say, I love you, to you. As I said, it will be good. You'll like it. New Metaphysics, a Gary Geiserman produzione, part of my rehearsal reel for Italian cinema, which I aspire to. I just like the spirit in which they create film art over there. Down here at the Hit Factory in the basement, it's in the bunker. Cyanide capsules at the ready, just in case. Weird programming just for you, Greater Boston. You self-smug and complacent status quo of the academic pillar of the American Northeast. Self-sublimated closed loop of rubber room protected thought loops here in academic America. The Thought Factory. The Ivory Tower, I guess. It's like pheasant under glass, I suppose. Living in the rarefied, stagnant air of self-arrogant protectivism, but fully viewable to others. Except in America, where people are intimidated by it. For some obscure reason, I forgot about a long time ago. Going a little about 2:30-ish. Something like that. Here in our new Hit Factory studios, the luxurious WZBC overlooking the waterfront down here. A new metaphysics for you. Some kind of physic. You get me? Going up of your ass, brother / sister. For maximum stimulation and, of course, intense pleasure just for you. You got to help me out with it for the max. I know you will. I'm doing it too. So get your pleasure feed bags ready to strap on, my friends. You're going to need practice. Forget the doom and gloom. All that's coming your way is so much pleasure, you're going to blow up. Or I think you will. So get them on ready. I'm going to go back to the art form. And be very, very vulnerable to my friend's ionically magnetized for my fun and profit. Safe taping to you.
So we retrieve it as a form of content, the second level media ecology, to wallow in and pretend we're learning new things from.
But I think in that interim we have made quite an impression on the broadcast arena in this country in quite a meaningful way. I don't... I don't think we would be where we are today with Chairman Kennard possibly talking about some maybe tiny bit of reform without the efforts of many, many people across the country who took upon themselves to put their voices and their communities on the air, despite it being, quote-unquote, illegal.
Also, people have asked me about tapes. We're making audio tapes and video tapes of the meeting.
Who is the most inventive of the two?
Who would have sheltered her? But that's not why she didn't go. We could not bear to live alone. We needed our little company. Locked together in hatred, she said to me calmly afterwards. I found her by the empty hearth picking the small blossoms from a long stem of lavender. And when I heard her ask me in a low voice if I would tell her all I know, I did this gladly. She asked no questions, and when it was finished, she said to me, I don't despise you. You gave me your immortal kiss. Her small hands, soothing, holding me.
Drew back onto the sand, lay there momentarily, its crystal teeth weaving moon flashes. Lump, 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 lump. Another thumper, Paul thought. Again it sounded off to their right. A shudder passed through the worm. It drew farther away into the sand. Only a mounded upper curve remained, like half a bell mouth, the curve of a tunnel rearing above the dunes.
We never didn't ever play those. Sometimes when your voice was so bad through losing your voice that you would be virtually wouldn't be singing at all, but nobody would notice because there'd be so much noise going on.
And this is probably why something like the New World Order doesn't work, because there's no sort of TV image to equivalent it.
Out its atmosphere into space. All of this, there's a reason for, and all of it kind of ties in to the prophecies that I have heard that talk about what lies ahead for us. For example, the fifth world, the world of peace and light, that's basically our return to the garden. That is the garden that used to be on Earth a long time ago. And when Venus slipped into our solar system, it was a runaway planet. It hit a planet, knocking it into the asteroid belt today. It came so close to Mars that it literally tore out its atmosphere into space. And then it ran close enough to the Earth to strip away everything that was on the face of the planet.
Gaia, they call it now. What are the metaphors they'll use? If they think of it as a spaceship, they're going to have a completely different sense, autonomy, mobility. But if they think of it as a living organism, they're going to think of themselves as participants in a community.
And now the sleep of 65 years has ended. She'd strolled slowly to the center of the room and strewn the crumpled lavender all around her.
I only want to be there to kiss you as you want to be kissed when you need to be kissed, where I want to kiss you because it's my house and I plan to live in it. I really need to hug you when I want to hug you as you like to hug me. Does this sound like a silly poem?
So what we need to do is firmly establish the idea, long revered in history, of the Earth as a living organism. Finally, new science, new technology, new concept of progress, new ideas of ethics, new concepts of security, knowledge, and politics. How does it all add up?
It's my house, and I want to fry pork chops and bake sweet potatoes and call them yams because I run the kitchen and I can stand the heat. I spent all winter in carpet stores gathering patches so I could make a quilt. Does this really sound like a silly poem? I mean, I want to keep you warm. And my windows might be dirty, but it's my house. And if I can't see out sometimes, they can't see in either. English isn't a good language to express emotion through. Mostly, I imagine, because people try to speak English instead of trying to speak through it. I don't know. Maybe this is a silly poem. I'm saying it's my house. And I'll make fudge and call it love and touch my lips to the chocolate warmth and smile at old men and call that revolution, because what's real is really real. And I still like men in tight pants because everybody has something to give and, more important, needs something to take. And this is my house, and you make me happy. So this is your poem.
Third stage of human consciousness. I started, remember saying there are two stages? Third stage. Owen Barfield, 92-year-old British barrister and philosopher, not well known, written many books. How many know him? Interesting gentleman, isn't he? He said something that really caught my attention a few years ago. He said, we've had two great stages of consciousness in human history, and of course it's always generalizations, but it rang true for me. First stage of human consciousness, hunter-gatherer consciousness. We had intimate participation with the natural order. We were a part of it, but we had no sense of self. We revered the generativity of nature, and we constantly cajoled it in order to be able to make ends meet.
Make it understandable, to allow us to drink it in. And therefore we know, if you can't show us on TV the New World Order, that it's probably not real.
He made me then to be your companion.
And at this point, it's undetermined just exactly what that means.
Now you've cleared the decks for action, you see. Over to Mr. Morgan, I think. What's he going to cut out?
I have given up everything anyway.
Yes,
so I wouldn't get much of a relief from that. All I have left is floating, which on calm days in the summer, it's an indulgence.
Well, it's already here. It's the since all cultures are the content. When a German watches a Canadian program, the content is German because he brings his cultural preference and bias into it. So the user is the content.
Danzig was and is a German city.
Alle diese Gebiete verdanken ihre kulturelle Erschließung ausschließlich dem deutschen Volk.
All these regions have only Germany to thank for their cultural development.
Call Dan. When was this?
It was like 4 months ago.
You're a slut.
I can be.
The creature sank farther, retreating, turning. It became a mound of cresting sand that curved away through a saddle in the dunes.
Second stage of history, we reduced nature from a generative force, including our own nature, to a productive force. Now,
wonderful. Thank you, Mr. Gaither.
Miss Ashley, I know this is a terrible thing to do, to ask anybody to read cold without ever having a chance to look over the script.
By 1970, packet switching networks were running on phone lines, radio, and satellite over long distances on land and across the oceans. It was, theoretically, international.
We already have this massive interplay that my colleagues and I do in the Secret Council canon, making sure each mythic stage, each technological environment has a chance to function. All right, with that mixed corporate media interplay, the anarchy of different cultures responding to this is already allowed to happen. Is it?
Structure, and who took that risk? We have basically created what amounts to almost an ungovernable situation as far as the FCC is concerned. And have really shifted the national debate. We've focused on the issues of media concentration, ownership, where 10 corporations own more than 50% of media resources and are interlocked through directorships of their own and cross-ownership in various investments.
I feel that I am doing what I should be doing, and in that sense I'm happy. I am not happy in the sense that no amount of criticism of the agency, no amount of revelation of its dirty deeds, no amount of exposure of the weaknesses of the agency has weakened the CIA, but I do feel that at some point all of this is going to be impact on the awareness of the American people, and at that time there will be an attack on the CIA.
Certainly, Mars had an atmosphere, and scientists say in collision course with Earth. When it hit the planet that busted into the asteroid belt, it slowed down enough to be pulled into the sun's gravity. And then as it sucked out Mars's life, and then it came through and sucked out everything that was on the surface of this planet, and then remained in a stationary orbit today. That planet, even its rotation is opposite from any other planet in the solar system. It's counterclockwise, and that's Venus.
Hear what we're doing, you know, it just would become a sort of happening, like Shea Stadium was a happening. You couldn't hear any music.
Agree. And what's he come up with in the end? Most of the stuff he's come up with has been French philosophy. That's been the main target of his book.
It's a decentralized ecology. So the problem with the pink ecology of George Bush is, of course, you can't impose an image on it because it's invisible.
But is George Bush more pink than the people he's talking to? I mean, is he that far out of it? The guy used to be the director of the CIA. You'd think that he would know something about what's going on.
No, the CIA is a puny organization compared to the DIA and institutions you never heard of that manufactured the AIDS virus. I mean, I don't even think George Bush knew that. He only worked at a certain level. I mean, it's his own personal ambition to become president of the United States because in his limited view, he thought that was the most powerful position. But
Bildungsdienste Barbara Herrschen. Wenn Boeing versuchen sollte, auf dem Weg zollpolitischer Maßnahmen Danzig wirtschaftlich zu vernichten, dass dann Deutschland nicht mehr länger untätig zusehen könnte.
I told the Polish ambassador 3 weeks ago that if situation continued as it was, if Danzig were persecuted and it were attempted by Poland to ruin Danzig economically, the situation could not be tolerated.
They didn't know.
But the people know. I mean, the people in the United States know how pink the guy is, right?
Right. But the people aren't listening. The audience has disappeared for George Bush. It's disappeared for all the media.
Disappeared for the Cosby Show.
No, it's disappeared for everybody.
Yeah, okay.
The planet has been absorbed, as you see here. Even the universe has been absorbed. That's why the crop circles are showing up.
Million people, one-third of mankind, exist under communist tyranny without the God-given rights of freedom and human dignity.
What movie is this? I thought it was going to be a Western or something. Some easy watching type of film. Instead, it's some sort of artsy-fartsy thing. You know what I'm talking about? All right. We'll get back to the film in a minute. WZBC out of Newton, working in a complete vacuum tonight. I've been holding my breath for 3 hours now, and I've been various colors of blue. But fortunately, I've had great cephalic pockets of repressed oxygen in my brain due to childhood trauma, and certain portions of my brain, therefore, are still being kept alive and functioning. And I have to admit, the hallucinations are effing fantastic, man. Worth every penny of what will turn out to be, I'm sure, certain Kevorkian death. Want to salute that man. He's one of the greatest human heroes in the 20th century. Civil disobedience of the order. So we'll be getting back to the show. Go about another 40 minutes or thereabouts. Just for you. Just for you's out there. And hope you're enjoying it. I know I am. Feels really good. It feels so good it's probably illegal. I know it's fattening. I can guarantee you that.
Thank you.
I considered myself a good spy. I would be given a name of a student or a professor or a teaching assistant, and I would try to develop a relationship with this person and try to get them to say to me statements concerning the U.S. involvement in Vietnam and Southeast Asia. I was to infiltrate student groups to get copies of propaganda, meeting times, protest posters, this kind of thing.
You're friendly spy on campus.
The aliens are having a bit of an identity crisis, so they want to communicate to us because they've been subsumed in the electronic merging.
That these materials are still there?
Oh, definitely there are still some there in the possession of the American military, but as far as I know, they removed it from Area 51.
Left is actually has a series of ridges on it, and that's supposedly the most advanced of the Pleiadian ships, which actually not only has interstellar capability, but also is able to travel in time.
The coming millennium being used to get everybody to mobilize people. I hear a lot of people talking about the millennium, so in this kind of Alvin Toffler like way, you know, where they're predicting what's going to happen as a result of technology and as a result of media.
Stepped out of the crack. Watched the sand wave recede across the waste toward that new thumper summons. Jessica followed, listening. Lump, 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 lump. Presently, the sound stopped.
I just have a feeling that, you know, that it's necessary for readers to understand that whatever kinds of harrowing things are in any book, that the real object of the book is to arrive at some sort of form of light, some sense of the worth, you know, the worthiness of all of the things people do.
That's such an incredible juxtaposition of words. I mean, when you think about it.
So little time. We're going to rehearsal in a couple of weeks. I wonder if you would mind reading Cold. Maybe take a look at the script there just for a moment.
Not at all. Your explaining how dreadful it was reading Cold makes me know that you understand how dreadful it really is.
We had slightly higher poverty rates. We had much more intact communities. We had a smaller black middle class. Mm-hmm. But what's frightening about 1997 is the erosion of the systems of caring and nurturing in America at large, but in particular in black America. So,
and who's behind this, and what are they really trying to accomplish?
Well, why it's so easy for me to be behind this and evoke it is that I know certain effects are going to come from the holopathic interplay of mixed corporate media today, and I know that there's going to be a general global revulsion against technology in general, and therefore a great nostalgia for the first nature, not the second nature, which is our own man-made environments. The first nature is what Prince Charles is all about, ecology, saving the planet, saving the insects, saving the trees, saving the seas. He's not aware of the problem of interrelating the new nature, the second nature. That requires great ecological skill, how to relate the second nature back to the first. So since this is this environment is too overwhelming for people, they just resort to what we call at the church the anthropomorphic scale, the human scale, the retrieval human scale. So you're going to see for the next 50 years the waking up of human scale, the human form as you and I look like. But that, waking up of human scale, the human form as you and I look like. But that is not our real human form. Our human form is we are wearing all these media environments.
Mm-hmm.
People came out from underground, from their safe places, with what little life and plants and other living things they could take in with them, and saw what happened to the earth. They were devastated. Up into the night sky and saw that planet just looking back at them, and they called that the planet that stole our love. Catastrophe seems to have made its imprint on the on the DNA of every living thing. Adversary is used in its broadest sense, including those who are not declared enemies but who are engaged in activities we wish to stop. And this ties right into local law enforcement as well as the army.
Tenak din, 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 tenak din.
naturally, you are in about 95 to 98% control of the experience, and if it is turns out positive, you have a lot to do with that. So that sort have been doing this for a long time. So it really has to do with training the mind and the consciousness. That'll come back to self-discovery. I think if you start off in that position in the beginning, you'll get a lot further. For instance, I was approached by That's Incredible, they're having a new show come out, and they wanted me to do some experiments with it. And they even shipped a box over here to my house where they sealed the box up and they locked it, and they told me to put it by my bed, and if I thought about it while I was leaving the body, to reach inside of the box with my astral hand.
Find out what was inside. All right, doctor.
Typical sexual insecurities are...
Jumping back a little bit, am I normal? Is this normal? And invariably it's people with abnormal desire that want to be reassured that it is normal. And people have to let go of that. And that's something that gay people let go of early. You know, in teenagers, that's when I let go of being normal. And straight people sometimes have, you know, what makes straight people better than gay people is that straight people are normal. So the straight person who is confronted with desires that are regarded by their friends or family as abnormal sometimes has a little identity crisis on their hands.
They're hard to see and visualize. You can only see the effects of them. So we will hoik up the what's traditionally known as the human image as the be-all, end-all, which will probably make a great nostalgia for ancient human forms of government, monarchies, and maybe even before that, the native Indian form of government, the mm-hmm. very tribal sharing form mm-hmm. of government. And that's part of the reason why the native Canadians are riding on a preference that's created by the mixed corporate media reality so that the federal government's going to give them some land.
Nate de Kooning and Klein. If the new paintings are different from the paintings that I did before, as far as scale and organization, they're very close to the early paintings as far as the idea of series is concerned. That's their closest point of similarity. In the new paintings, there are 10 shapes, and there are 4 pieces in each shape, and 4 is an arbitrary number. It's just a number that I thought that I'd like to have, so that if I work on one shape, I don't have to paint over the painting a lot. If I don't like the way it comes out, I can go on to the next one. And also, it also gives me something to work against.
And that got boring, you know.
Yeah.
That's why we stopped with it. Mm. I reckon now if I went out, not as the Beatles, but just Yoko and I went out with the group, then people wouldn't be screaming, you know. And because our records are better now, I think, and more mature. And I think the audience would be more mature, too.
What we're really seeing is reaction by everyone involved and the communities that they serve, a great desire to have a voice, because in the current situation we're facing, people are being denied having a voice. They are being relegated to mere observers and not participants within a democratic process.
But the problem for the natives is that they're going to get the land. But the land is obsolete compared to the mixed corporate media environment. So, as a matter of fact, as revolting as it may seem to them, and it's hard for them to stop the drift that they can take advantage of now, probably the whole effort to make, to renew recognition of native rights and create their own little local cultural zones is the greatest disservice they could make and have put upon them in dealing with the 21st century. Flat on the mixed corporate media level of Bob's Media Ecology of content control, the second level, they will be celebrated in a losing struggle. But the image of the Indians, the image of this human scale tribalism, the Amazon image, the old forms of natural ESP, these will be celebrated under the guise of eco-fascism.
Being created by God directly, and all of their preoccupations. For instance, since we spoke of famine, the great and abiding and haunting question of water.
Yes,
in the Bible.
Of course.
Water, you know, it's only in recent years that the world has again become aware of the fact that there may not be enough water.
summer is a bummer of funding. A ringing in the ears. A run in the stockings. Death knocking down your dubious doorway. Lummox, you sweep imperception with true recollection. Remember your bumbling troubles? The clues of loose change, sweating bullets? Seems ease is a phase you've forgotten. Long bloodshot topics, floppies, floppy desk and a head full of hurts. The certain derision. Nemesis wrists. A quick twist of freight. The late poles indicating an opposite leaning. Sink is stacked with last year's plates. Favorites. Tapering hopes. Flailing armpits. A stiff upper lipstick interprets the worst. First kiss. Second helpings. Third world. Fourth estate. The fifth dimension. The sixth sense. The seven wonders behind the eight ball. While your cat laps nine lives. Ten is for ten little Indians. Bent rims. A flimsy film betraying the lens. Wet crescents for eyes. A fueling of the visceral veins. Cling wrap. Fast. Food. Look, see. The feel is reason to believe the worst is yet ahead. Red radishes smart from hard potato hoe. Do onions wonder about the rose? Trickle chorus. A forest of booze. Who's rife with a price tag? Last call, Lollapalooza. Terse impersonation. Stitched with an itch.
Definitely did set forth to try and produce an equivalent of the painting they admired. The American poetry of the 40s, which enjoyed precisely the same vogue in Europe which abstract expressionism did, was on the whole a very neat, structured, traditional academic poetry.
There's been a prolonged effort on the part of critics in the 25 years since the war to conduct the debate about modern art in terms of abstraction versus figuration. The sort of question I find both important and puzzling is whether pop art is really figurative art at all. You see, as we know, it all derives from predetermined images. At its nearest to reality, it comes from photographs. Otherwise, it comes from designs for packaging, from comic strips, from all sorts of things, but never directly from what used to be called laughingly life.
For the next two generations, at least.
Mm-hmm.
So that is the coming image, which is already here.
Mm-hmm.
The principal representative of this phase of American writing is Richard Wilbur. That these East Coast academics conquered in the same way that abstract expressionist painters did, though, in the name of very different values.
The campus wits.
The campus wits.
You said that, I was interested by the use of the word vogue, say that these poets enjoyed the same vogue in Europe as abstract expressionism. Do you see abstract expressionism primarily as a vogue, as a fashion?
But it will be an image that will be playing catch-up to the real dynamic which is going on, which is the holopathic retrievals. So humanity in general screwed up three-quarters of its past and is going to screw up three-quarters of its future. Unless you help spread the word and we make a real breakthrough and have people understand by hearing the word of Bob what's happening.
Who's making the holograms?
On the first level, the formal controlling of the sensory typology is being done by investment by my solar bankers.
The former controlling of the sensory typology?
The formal.
Okay.
Formal. The first level.
Right.
It's being controlled by the World Bank and the IMF banker, who are a branch plant of the solar bankers, where you invest through visual space of money in certain inventions, certain new environments on a controlled scale, having studied the effects of them first and how they're going to affect all the different cultures.
During the 19th century, with all of these tremendous advances, I don't remember coming across in any of the many prognostications that were written in the 19th century what the world would be like. Now, there may be a shortage of water. There seemed to be such an abundance of it.
You know, half, that's all, the other half of my mail. Half of it's mother may I, and the other half is this normal? They want some reassurance that it's okay.
Well, apparently, judging from your mail, a lot of people have these powerful sexual fantasies that involve some kind of abuse, like being spanked, or, you know, some kind of sadomasochistic imagery that they're not at all comfortable with. They're not sure whether they should give in to the fantasy or fight it. I'm wondering if you've given a lot of thought to why so many people's sexual fantasies have to do with some kind of risk or pain or sense of, you know, degradation?
Because it's sexy.
That is the, what was the question?
Who's making the holograms?
Yeah, that is the
people
first
in labs
level.
Doing this? I mean,
yes. And that is the first level of formal ecology.
Certainly not from the life of life class of the old academic painting. And it seems to me that a great deal of pop art is a debate about the vocabulary representation.
Risk is sexy, and a large part of often what makes sex erotic is this feeling of risk. Whether
but why do you think that's true?
Vulnerable.
I mean, you're just saying that as if, well, we all know that that's true. Why do you think that's maybe true?
God, no one's ever quite asked me the question that way. I don't know why it's true, and I don't think maybe that... I wonder what value there is in questioning it, you know what I mean? These things turn me on, and I want to know why, but once you know why, what difference does it make? There's still going to be
I'll answer that,
that
because
on.
I think this is particularly true for women. You know, at the same time that people are being much more open about their sexual fantasies, you know, you also have the women's movement, and women have, you know, really stood up and say that they refuse to be degraded by men or in a sexually degrading relationship. And at the same time, if they're having a fantasy that...
But it's not sexually degrading if you're play acting, if you're pretending to be degraded.
But at the very least, it could be confusing for somebody.
It can be confusing from the outside. It's not. I don't know anyone who engages in SM practices who's confused by it.
That's the formal level. And then the advertising level, that can be done by human pink greed. They will continue under the pressure of living in this situation. They will continue to manufacture new holograms for media content. The third level of the assassinations and control of interrelations with the aliens will be done by my associates who work on the what we call moral level of programming certain controls among the bankers.
And about representation itself. And that one is therefore always being forced back on questions of how rather than why.
In fact, it has to do with an internal problem between people that want to maintain the Constitution and maintain United States sovereignty versus the other element that...
Certain bankers get out of hand, you have to off them, all right? And that's the hologram level there. The fourth level, the collective ESP, and your question is, this is a long answer, where are the holograms coming from? And as the slack point that I operate from is that I can see the effects of all this, and the holograms are generated by the interaction of the first three. So it's not a hard job from my perspective.
He said it's like taking off a tight shoe. Isn't that extraordinary?
Brock's contributions, however, were often not carried all that far by Brock himself. Take, for example, the lettering. Brock introduced the lettering into Cubism. He introduced the use of stenciling to make the lettering. And he introduced fragments of words and suggestions of a kind of street poetry, which we find in the pictures. But Picasso carried this much further, making a very complex matrix of poetic fragments and in jokes, as it were.
Of how it's done, rather than why it was done.
But most people can't handle so much perpetual motion. Gurdjieff talked about the deep need in man is to have perpetual motion.
Another part of his book, which is aimed at much more serious work, which he refers to himself in Science Studies, which draws upon much more respectable tradition in terms of Anglo-American thinking, people like Thomas Kuhn, Karl Popper, Quine, and so forth. I think it's there that probably the argument between Professor Sokol and myself lie, not to do with French post-structural thinking.
But the interesting thing
is, has not influenced Science Studies very much.
The other craft is what they call a Type 1 variation. It's very, very simplistic. It's sort of the first generation of the Pleiadian beam ships. And the unusual thing about the photo is that it's taken in the air about 30,000 feet above Florida, where you can actually see the outline of the Florida Keys underneath, and you can actually also see in the photo...
Oh, you're right. I can make them out.
Yes.
Or slack. Most people can't handle that. If the idea of perpetual motion... goes on endlessly, they get paranoid of unstoppability. So the real sub-genius learns how to do and deal with unstoppability.
Well, if
you go back... with some degree of regulatory process, what we do have a problem with is, you know, on one level we have a some sort of regulatory process, wherever that may be. Now, you had two entities. You had first the Federal Radio Commission, the Radio Commission itself, which then evolved into the Federal Communications Commission with the 1934 Communications Act. Now, in essence, what the 1934 Communications Act did was essentially hand over the airwaves to private control, essentially, or private usage.
And because I've mastered that, then I can handle all four levels of media ecology, because I can handle the allowance of many things to happen and not panicking within, because if the panic and interplay, like raise up the acoustic sensory profile if you panic, or lower the visual, if you panic and do that wrong, then you screw up the whole evolution that's been happening.
Together and to love each other.
Well, getting back to the difference between violence as it's depicted in televisions and film, when you're seeing it, and violence when you're reading it. I first of all want to defend movies and say that I think there have been many fine films in which the violence really does hurt.
Oh yeah, there have.
Although there's just so many films in which it's all so false and artificial.
Standing outside of it, who may not understand it and feel at once titillated and repulsed, can sometimes be confused by it because of what it looks like. But when you watch little kids play, I always compare a grown-up S&M to cops and robbers and cowboys and Indians. It is play. I mean, I think there's a reason why folks in the leather SM fetish community, which is just a horrible thing to say, it sounds so unsexy to say that. There's a reason why they call what they do, they call it play. And play is exciting, and it's fun, and it's these roles. And I don't think you can divorce power from sex. And I think it was one of the mistakes of the sort of the feminist movement in the early 80s, especially the lesbian feminist movement, was trying to strip power dynamics out of sex.
It's something that I like in it or something that I don't like. It sets the way that I'll go with the next few pictures. It's not that I'm hoping that one will work out, but I think that some will work in some ways and some will work in other ways and some won't work at all, and I'll sort of take it as it goes.
It makes sex sexy, and power is always there. Whether, you know, you're just rolling over on top of your partner forcefully, there's like this erotically charged expression of power in that, or if you're taking the power roles and exaggerating them with props and costumes and cages and masks and whatever, and then inhabiting them in this like ridiculously blown up performance, even then it's still I think it's the same thing as, you know, a back scratch or a playful slap and tickle. It's just blown up, and I don't think you can divorce power from and pain from human sexuality. Look at the role that power and pain plays in the sexuality of lower animals, and you see it all over the place.